So I'm going to read mostly from, maybe entirely from this new manuscript, which is good poems from this new book, which will come out later this year. I'll tell you a story about this manuscript, which is that the original idea was that I would give Ugly Duckling as my next book a long essay, which is an excerpt from my dissertation. So this was to be an unusual book of prose, critical prose, about one or two problems of poetics, primarily dealing with Nathaniel Mackey's novels. And there's also a problematic end of this essay, which is yet to be completed, that I've tried to write like four or five different times now. So this essay, which will come, was the original deliverable. And then I had this baby, about who's my son, who's now 2.5 years old, and I started writing new poems. And by the time it was time to actually deliver the book of prose, I had a new manuscript of poems. And this amazing thing happened, which is that when you work with a small press, you can do almost anything. And I told them that I had another manuscript, and they said, "Well, let's just make a bigger book." And so this incredible thing happened where I was able to kind of put together these books that would have been incompatible in any other forum, probably. Although, really, like, the reality of the thing was that they belonged together and that they had been written at the same time. And this was really the appropriate mode of presentation for them. So while I'm not really addressing the Poetry Project directly in these poems, there's the way in which the poems are written and the sort of community in which I sort of learned to write poems as an adult. I really didn't start writing poems until I was an adult. I didn't really choose poetry as my job until I was in my early 30s. So the Poetry Project has been my only sort of institutional affiliation as a poet, even though I did get an MFA. I got an MFA because I was trying to quit practicing law. And so the MFA was essentially like designed to get people to leave me alone for 2 years. But I was practicing law while I was commuting from Philadelphia to New York to do this. And so I'm going to read these poems, which are, I'm sort of just trying to learn how to read them. And that's it. I'll start with this one, which I woke up the other day and realized should be the first poem in the book, although it is not currently. 4:18 a.m., left boob. The baby saw a spirit clowning on the ceiling. The thing or things not there, certainly amusing. The baby's face is kind of flat. That's beatific. I scare easily. 'A manner of the poem can be found in the way it is possible to discover that one need no longer be cold, that one's coat is sufficiently warm and dry, that this happened to me in Jersey City in 2004 in a blizzard, that I forgot again that my mother is a doctor because she is my mother. She assures me I need only be good enough, that Winnicott is the one to read on. I wasn't thinking and should have said thank you. That only the pain of his latch is real. His latch is the measure of all pain, itself a thing invented nightly as in a dream of taxes. Of the long poem, I had said there could be a secret text, a sacred accompanying text, unreadable but for its having been written and erased. But how to establish secrecy, not undiscovered, nor buried, then unearthed. Its paradigm is the burning bush, psychosis materiel, madness of cause. There must, I'm saying, be a listener, also mad, ready with testimony to extinguish doubt. There must be witness and whispering, and uncrated objects that have not been touched, except by these two. The primary position taken by me as against the secondary position the backward, the prone, that is the point. The point being to run down the arbiters of licensing the demand for pictures. Show me an image of your perfect listener. Deep sound, trash musicality, folklore of the herd, remnant of the flightlessly flapped wing, I forbid. I forbid pathos and contrast. Forbid that too, me in the primary position. The primary position's rough justice being to run down the arbiters of listening. Put myself to the side of listening, put myself over listening, take a vacation from listening and listening's homonym, utterance, and listening's key practice, damnation. On whose part comes such failure of imagination? Upon whom does it come? Upon nothing of threat. Straddle this longing. It is circular. It's self-regard, which is also flat, abiding anti-calculation. First, secure the milk. Then quick, I must show you the body's inventing itself, that my body should make herself ground for the great shock of suck. That I, quaking metal in fixed ground, I, sight of infection, I, arrowroot cookie, taste is the true prophetic word. Secure the milk, and I'll tell you grammatical properties of the pronoun motherfucker. Secure the milk, and we'll talk about Marxism, Leninism, Mao Zedong thought, which is milk thought, which is what I believe. If we have failed to prosper, or rather to become prosperous in the sense that one earns silence on the federal holiday of one's choice, if we failed in that, in prospering according to proper functions of the glands and of capital, it is called poverty. In the above example of hypotaxis, weren't you her man of opportunity, so-called prospering? Excellent French of the seminar, many early years in language training of the language lab, the contest. Then French of the tutor, bad French of the baby class, the first grade mademoiselle. French of one's own Fanon translation, also the French of jealousy, of tokenism, the soft sexism of the academic job market. What might be, yet never is because. On Sunday, one scrubs the toilet in French. French of the kitchen and of Colette, of the nicest suitcase you've ever seen in Paris, in her brightest trousers, drunk in Pigalle. French of correct sense memory, the sweet smell of familiar cock, if you can still say that today in America. Cock, familiar or favorite, do the French stand alone? Perspicacious beyond health, all things are effortless. You milk the baby, it is effortless. Your choices are beautiful, you have read everything. Let this be the reason you go without Dietrich's vacations. Repetitive motions swept along by the overtures of the injurious dance workshop. This is no one's fault, not my pussy's fault, nor yours. It is deep February, you are not depressed. Primary is new to you, primary red. A soft and suckable red mushroom reminds you of a nasty wind or a witch bauble for striking on black rocks. Maybe the dancers will bust their wrists. How careless and cheap their twirling appears from this vantage. White, like the crystal Stacy has promised me, the mind grows light and visible ice. You could get pink eye, one would think, putting your face on the subway. But anything for Eileen. An outline of face preliminary to appearing at the sad gig in the endangered garret. Languor, like head rags, unfashionable. At last, life is ordered the way you wanted, with once a week cleaning, a child sleeping on his side, tiny man, a chocolate cosmos renounced, as now, in retrospect, the wicked knot's happiness of cut flowers, all too plain, solitude comes back on you. Taking leave of the dynamism of organizations, ad hominem attacks wash over you from another dimension. The mind wanders to Robert De Niro at the club in Atlanta. That would have been fun. What do you know about capital, really? Perhaps the intelligence characterized by willingness to stretch, not proud of having learned the study habits of the white shoe, is offended by borrowing actions, taking offense a lot then. The action of the day burrows. The day is taken up in most bewildering deflections of informational assault by poet revolutionaries. In English, we don't say, I can't care about it. I can't care coming out the side of your mouth. Where did you come by your taste for blood? Spring poem. Unless there was a turn in the way of things, all would continue to vibrate with foreboding. Hazard littered the pink tree bud. Hazard would ruin the festival of the peony if nothing was done, and soon. An odor of scorched broccoli followed you down Fulton, then Clinton, then Second Avenue. The olfactory sense pricked up in concert with dissent, its due in the order of consciousness coming round like psychosis sooner or later. Perhaps this person does not understand the extent of my exuberance. I was taking secret photos on the subway that week of young black men, all in black and flowers. Trend spotting it was, as well an extended meditation on the troubles or where the testosterone package has led. Francesca the bittersweet. One expects to be visited in the nerves daily by the tragedy of early middle age. And yet, who expects to break down under the pressure? Not me. Ha. Oh Lord, one resents his invocation in the poems of others. I was frustrating my wish for a biscuit, a true biscuit of white lily flour, as I'm living now on cake and meatballs. I write in secret to extend the attention for channeling, going on without recourse to interpretable phrases. Games such as pinnacle are attention in retreat. Secrecy shreds attention, makes for it unlikely perforations, so little gasps illustrate folding, one word over another. One is inside the other's attention or conceptual field. You bring attention inside in the way of, by way of secreting in a dump motel where everyone would be looking but for the proliferation of dumps, your key witness. Nicole Eisenman, I need you to make a picture. Nicole, I saw you at the church and need your help. I think it's important to record relaxing's long-term distortions. My legs are slightly bowed, not from doing anything, so that is immaterial. What about this gappy thing between my thighs? There's something wrong with my hips. They're stuck or something. I mean, they get stuck when I move, so there's an arc in trying to move forward, so that every forward movement involves a circle that was not there before. When I bend over completely, my groin is released in such a way, like I feel the turning of a ball of the joint in such a way that I imagine my hip joints as padded with cork. There is a softness such as was not there, a soft hole that was not there in the groin, which is related to the gappy hips. My boobs are ruined and ought to be painted as soon as possible, as I cannot say whether they are ugly or beautiful. They are a ruin, so how do you show that, or what do you do about change of that nature, where overnight you were one thing and then unimaginable punishments, and then you were out of that, even if you're not religious or a very small child? I think you need a picture showing this kind of bodily rage. Although I admire certain aspects or angles of what I now see as the brutal indent of a formerly powerful ass. And the way I am eating, which cannot be pictured but might be symbolically pictured, or I pick up and secretly eat carbohydrates. I load in ways previously revolting to me, as my fear of obesity is intense, everlasting, earned. I think my digestion is ugly. Returning to the privations of the past is tough, despite years of trouble, sacrifice of blood blisters under the toenails. I sweated this muscle in the modern way, with only moderate success. The limp is runner's knee. So I'm going to skip a sort of centerpiece of this manuscript is two very long poems, one called Stingray and another called Messenger. And I think I'm just going to read Messenger tonight, which is the most recent of these poems, which is completed relatively recently. And so the poems I just read are like small. They're small poems. And they were sort of, I don't know what to say about them. They were written, you know, under the extreme duress of early motherhood, like all in the first year, you know, having a little baby and working at the Poetry Project. I said they weren't about the Poetry Project.
Yeah.
Turns out they're all about the Poetry Project. Who knew? Every single one. So that tells you something about that place. I was at the Poetry Project pumping every 2 hours at my desk. It's an all-women's office. And I would just sit at the desk and like the breast pump would be going. And the women in the office were like, they just pretended they didn't notice that I was sitting and pumping all day. Messenger. Prepare, no night creature, accidental enemy. Encounters return to us in witch cradles, monsters by a hair's breadth. These are works melted, no accident, these fires, these crashes, capitulate to what is meant by the past as a whole. Melt, fall back into accomplishment, the grasp of who prepares to give the message. The side is excruciating. We find him there pained, not knowing, and the curt blast come to him as a side, as from the original side, ripped from the first man, eaten by the merciless blank. I find your cries ridiculous. The side is all magma. It is where we are taken to get what is coming. In the middle of our conversation, the phone rang. It was you from the other side. I rang through. It was you calling from the other side. I staggered. It was you laughing. You were interrupting the progress of our conversation. You were laughing. There was thus no middle. There was the connection which loomed in its oddness, being duplicated in all the realities where it was taking place. The laughter was warm. It reminded me of body heat. It was pure energy. It was you from the other side ringing through. It was you pressing your finger to the hollow of my throat. Processing, the summation of all things that transpired. All dust, not equally black. Black rocks, diamonds, whirling afloat synthy lag. Not the organic wave. That is a thing to resemble absurdly, taking the form of what it is not. For it is never the water. It is never the sound, it is never the light. Gruesome Nosferatu spreads its claw over the light. Its spine curves, that wave, misshapen, jealous, curled Saturday. My sense, piteously, not yet messenger. These are works, now being merciless, being crushed as a matter of criticism into non-specific talk of waves, the little irresponsible petals. Those snares when trap music got hot, the illusion of bending the strings or processing. At the sight of the miraculous, the idea was to rebuild that sound on the synths, to recapitulate the past happening inside the body of deliverance, pull the field into what's still, what suffers future arrivals. This nowness I inhabit is a gift. I am the woman of your first maturity. It was a woman. It was a child with the sex of a man. She spoke the words of the dead, gusts. Her black lips closed. He, I, crouched. We cannot write. Your night messages fuck me up. Your arrested discovery of any kind. Your body's nearness interrupts all dreaming. The woman was loud. She was impossible to hear without opening the possibility of hearing at the event of its first uncurling. In the clenched ear of a wet newborn, the form that instructs us in hearing's plasticity, sculptural ear of time. It's her, the woman's voice, broke over the figures. She kept repeating, I am the woman, to the figures differentiating digitally in the dark of her making. At once, projections of the arch joke of human dwelling together in this nothing, and provocations. The messenger seethed, artless servant of this place. Eugalos addresses the mother with no mate, the mother who panics, the mother who watches the others with dread and wonder, the careless pleasure of other mothers in the presence of their children, the hours spent in fear, the isolation of motherhood, the metempsychotic deprivation of sleep. Nothing you have is yours, not even deposits of fat. You are the nothing toward which the man nods in acknowledgement of your motherhood, which is grand, which is prostration, which is the deactivation of all known powers, which is the evacuation of power. Your share in the speechless condition of your baby. Speech rushes, you freeze in the weakness of joint potentiality. You cannot share, yet you share. You have no faith, yet you must have faith. This is a test, this is not a test. Everything that was has been evacuated in your arms. Someone has fainted. Someone's got a mote in her eye. Someone is pricked by Eugalos, Hunter. We cannot write if time stops. All the industrial deviltry, clockwork such as normal, proves nothing. Barbarians. Curatorial possibilities involving depth, involving cutting tools, the mighty. Magic, deaths opposite these are losses, flesh and intimately courtside, wealth and black excellence taking place as a magnitude of economic pornography, ceaseless Negro apocalypse, it never comes. Yet the despicable enjoy a beautiful invisibility. What rains upon them, dollar bills, shit on tiny wings, her calipigeon behind a new economic edifice, secure in its statement of miniaturized state logics. Open your mouth. Whose mother are you? Get out of here. The men cannot write. You are not a man. You have never been anything but the image of the end, not the end. There are no saints. There is between us whisper, night, hunger, indeterminacy, monies. Scratch it down, I command you. Be or come or don't. Resist if you want, the absolute indeterminacy between inside and outside, loathing both earth and sky and everybody else getting in on it. This was not your first time, said the woman, the light tread of masculine youth, glide upon his skateboard. A complex organization threatening to lift itself so outside physics. Dismount the thing, wielding it in one hand like a weapon. Everybody get in on it. No, just me. It's me who wants in on it. Not the first time between yourselves, down there. Imagine next, alongside his joy, how to listen to the body of a black man in flight. He is always about to knock somebody out. The joy between yourselves, flight, Michael, several decades converge with the value of having no body fat. I too have wanted this power, said the woman. I too invent the mercies of being within and without the Maghreb, the Carolinas, and the West Coast. Processing, our works being births inseparable from desire for him. Love has no reason. She was on her back. She was counting, a penetrating numerical hum through her. All these churches, sacred music was the condition of possibility for sacred music. Imagine what was now possible. This was a half smile of a woman who commands the silent rock.